Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the FBN Holdings Half Year 2018 Financial Results Conference Call. Following an overview by the GMD of FBN Holdings, an interactive Q&A session will be available. I would now like to hand the call over to Mr. U.K. Akay, Group Managing Director of FBN Holdings. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon and good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for joining us on this investor and analyst presentation for our half year 2018 results. My name is U.K. Akay, the Group Managing Director, FBN Holdings. As usual, I have my colleagues here with me, and I wish to introduce a few of them to you. First is the CEO of the Commercial Bank, Dr. Shola Adedutan. I also have the Managing Director of FBN Quest Merchant Bank, Kayode Akinkugbe. I have the Group CFO, Wale Ariyibi. From the bank, I have the Chief Risk Officer, Segun Alebiosun. I also have the CFO at the Commercial Bank, Patrick Yemogo. Finally, I want to introduce Ini Ebong, who is the Treasurer, I'm sorry, at the Commercial Bank. We had earlier posted the presentation. It's already uploaded. The plan is to spend just a few minutes to run through the presentation, and then we will take more time on Q&A. I would go straight to slide five and kick off by saying that we are pleased with the progress we've made over the last 3 months. Interestingly, this report cards cut across all the operating entities. The businesses are all running very well. We have provided a summary there. Gross earnings up 1.6% year-on-year, and this is driven largely by 21.4% increase in non-interest income. I also want to say that this increase was offset by a decline in interest income, due largely to lower yields on investment securities and also a drop in the loans and advances. This is on account of pay downs we recorded during the quarter. Of course, our focus remains on the higher quality obligors, and the fresh loans made to them typically take time to document. That will explain the drop in the loan book. I also want to spend perhaps a little more time to talk about the increase in the non-interest income, because if you recall, we had announced to you at the last presentation that we're moving away from a credit-led model to more of transaction banking and digital banking. We are seeing excellent results arising from that refocus in our business model. The non-interest income, we are seeing a 13% year-on-year growth in fees and commission. Specifically, revenues from electronic banking channels were up 72% quarter-on-quarter, and on year-on-year basis, we're up 41%. By the half year of 2018, electronic banking fees account for 36% of total fees and commission, and this is up from 29% in June 2017. I'm on slide six. In addition to what I have said, we'd like to highlight that we recorded about 5 billion naira FX translation gain, and this is due to the increase in translation rate from 336.29 to a dollar in the first quarter to 344.94 in Q2 of 2018. Of course, this amount is also included in non-interest income. Slide seven. We have made very good progress with respect to resolving the loan book issues, which you continue to track, I am sure. This is reflected in a 15.4 5.6% decline in impairment charge. And we're happy to report a drop in the NPL ratio from 22.8% the first half of 2017 to 20.8% first half 2018. And this is despite the contraction in the loan book, which I had mentioned earlier, by 7%. Still on slide 7, we're also pleased to report an increase in the NPL coverage ratio from 61.9% first half of 2017 to the current ratio of 82.3% first half 2018. I think this should give comfort to all concerned, because this has been a major issue at every call that we made. Another critical pillar that we track also on slide 7 is the cost-to-income ratio. We remain very committed to delivering numbers we had promised, and we are seeing operational efficiencies improve despite our very large network and also the amortization that we are seeing through our P&L arising from investments we are making on digital banking and our ERP projects. Essentially, we managed our costs very well, and we are reporting 2.3% growth year-on-year only, and this compares very, very well with headline inflation rates of 11.2% for June 2018. And although on the face of it, the cost-to-income ratio inched up slightly to 56.5%, we are very confident that we will close within the guidance rate we gave you, which is 55% by end of the year. With respect to capital, still on slide 7, the operating entities that are regulated by capital continue to be above regulatory thresholds. Specifically, the commercial bank, if you adjust for the first half profit, commercial bank will have about 19.1% capital adequacy ratio, and the merchant bank will have 14.5%. ROE is also improving. Return on average equity is now 10%. And if you look at the note we put there, on a pre-provision return on average equity basis, we are clearly trending towards 30%, basically 27.4%. Slide 8, all considered, we are seeing improving operating environment despite continued volatility in the marketplace. And you can see on the slides, sustained drop in inflation rate over the last 17 months. We're also seeing stable currency and growing reserves, rising crude oil price, and also steady production and export. These macro, they're all supportive of our quest to regain our dominance in the marketplace, given our strategies. Slide 9 basically speaks to the pathway to a stable economy. And I think there's only one point to call out, which is the fact that in June, PENCOM introduced a new RSA multi-fund structure, which basically creates multiple asset allocation, targeting different demographic and age profiles and risk appetites of contributors. The reason I mention this is that effective July, PFAs who are underweight on the stock, they have a window to enter the stock, and therefore we're going to see increased appetite for FBNH stocks. Moving to slide 10, we have updated you on the initiatives we are executing, which underpin our ambition to achieve set goals. And I think the key message on that slide is the fact that First Bank, the largest subsidiary of the group, exercised its option to call the $300 million 8.25 subnotes, reflecting clearly strength of the bank's foreign currency liquidity, and of course, resilience of the balance sheet. So by August, we were able to make that payment on due date. I think I will just say one more thing on slide 11, and then we'll open it up for questions. We are making steady progress on the guidance we gave the market at the beginning of the year and also at the last call. We are on track to deliver the promise we made across all metrics we track. The only revision we'd like to make is with respect to the net loan growth rate. We are reducing our guidance from 7 to 10% to 5 to 7%. On account of the point I made earlier, a drop in the loan growth, 7.1% year to date, and also the drag in onboarding and disbursing loans already approved to quality obligors. We believe that the impact will be felt largely Q3 and Q4, but the effect of that will be about 5 to 7% growth in the loan book instead of 7 to 10% we had guided at the beginning of the year. So I want to thank you for your attention. We would like to then take questions.
If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to queue for a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We will now take our first question from Tolu Alamutu of Exotics. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for hosting today's call. I just have three questions, please. The first is on the cost of borrowing. It looks like your deposits at other banks and your non-deposit borrowing went up in cost in the second quarter. Can you maybe explain why that was? The second question is about bond issuance. Obviously, you've, as you said, called the 300 million bond. I just wanted to know whether you would consider coming back to the market at some point, potentially with a senior bond. Is that something that FBN has thought about, or is it something you'll maybe look at after the Nigerian elections? And related to that, can you just confirm that the decision to call that subordinated instrument won't have a material impact on your capital ratios? And finally, on asset quality, would it be possible to please get an update on the large NPL exposures like Atlantic Energy, Aiteo, and Nine Mobile? Thank you.
Thank you. Can we take one or two more calls, and then we'll take the we'll do response. Can we take more questions, please?
Our next question comes from Jerry Nabue of Cardinal Stone. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. First, I want to ask, why did you use 344 naira 54 kobo to value your FX exposures in your balance sheet? What drove that value? And secondly, what was your guidance for full year in terms of the rate at which you're going to value your balance sheet? Secondly, I also want to find out, from your guidance you're giving us here, you said you expect loans to grow by an average of between 5 to 7%. How do you intend to achieve that? Because from my estimate, that means that we have to grow loans by 7.5% in the next 2 quarters. And secondly, what particular sectors are you looking at to pursue this? And finally, I need to help clarify what the tenure for the CEO roles for the commercial bank and the holding company. Is it 5 years or 3 years? And if it's 3 years, what are your plans? Because I envisage then that the tenure should be expired in very soon. So what are your plans to ensure seamless continuity in the bank's leadership for both the holding company and the commercial bank? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we can provide responses. Ini will kick off the treasurer questions on borrowing and, of course, bond. And there's also a question on asset quality, which the CRO will take. And the CFO will take the question on exchange rate.
Okay. There was a question on bond issuance. A couple of years back when we issued the bonds, we did so for three reasons. First was adding duration into the foreign currency liability pool. Second was for diversification. And then the third bit was for capital benefit. And that's why we issued a subordinated instrument. Yes, we have called this bond, and we do intend to prepay next month. Now, we can do so because clearly our foreign currency liquidity is a lot stronger, and in the course of the last 12 to 18 months, we've deliberately built up foreign currency deposits, largely from corporates, to deal with this. In addition to that, there is absolutely no impact on capital because we had surplus Tier 2 capital, and as such, we're able to redeem this with zero impact. Also noting that being a 7 non-call 5, you'll be aware that the capital would have amortized away anyway, right? With respect to cost of borrowing, yes, we've seen some tick up, but that's been in line with overall rise in rates, largely on the foreign currency side. On the local currency side, we've seen, if you will recall, all of last year, we had a very high rate environment. So we had significant deposits, customer deposits, that were held off balance sheet in investments in government securities. We started seeing some of that migrate back on balance sheet, given that with lower treasury yields, you're getting deposits which are within the bank's tolerance level. So to that extent, we've seen a bit of that feed through. But we're monitoring it, and we're at these current levels, we're relatively comfortable with what we've seen. Thank you.
This is Shegun Alebiosu. The first one is on the loan growth. Yes, we revised our guidance from 7 to 10 to 5 to 7. And our target sectors still remain manufacturing, export, trade, and retail. You appreciate the fact that most export activities are between October and March. So Q4 offer a lot of opportunities for growth in the export market, in the export segment. And manufacturing being the focus of the economy now, we see a lot of growth in that sector. And based on what we have today and the pipeline of transactions we have today, we believe the targets are achievable. The question on the big three names. We guided earlier that ITO is no longer a non-performing loan. ITO is a performing loan. Atlantic Energy, we are optimistic about the progress we have made since the last call. We've made more progress, and that we believe that resolution is not far away. On Nine Mobile, lenders are working with regulators and financiers to conclude the transaction. We are optimistic that in this Q3, the Nine Mobile issue will be resolved.
The loan book, Patrick. Sir. The rate.
Malaysia. So the books were closed at NYFEX rate because we believe that best reflects the rate at which our customers are transacting, and we booked most of the transactions in the period.
Well, my name is Wally. We've used 345, as Patrick said, because that's the rate that is available for most, not all of our transactions and that of our customers that are on our books. We expect that at the end of the year, that NYFEX rate will still be the rate that we're going to use. Whatever the NYFEX rate is at that point in time will be the rate that will be used to translate the balances in our books on the balance sheet date.
Okay, there was a question around tenure for executives. This is UK AK. I'd like to confirm that executives are on 3-year contract in the first instance, renewable for maximum 2 additional tenures, or terms rather, of 3 years each. So cumulatively, max is 9 years for the execs that elects to stay that long, or for the board, or if the board wants the execs to stay. So it's a mutual consent. And the board is aware of the current situation and will make announcement imminently. Thank you. Can we take next question?
Our next question comes from Ola Ogunsanya of RENCAP. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation. My first question is really around the 3-year tenure. So if it's, I guess, executive tenure is for 3 years, what are the current succession plans? Because the tenure of many of the members, senior management, will be ending this year. So if you please give us a bit more clarity on what the succession plans are and how that affects the NPL cleanup process. Secondly, if you could please give us an update on Ontario. And my final question is on the funding cost side. So I think Eni mentioned a bit around deposits coming back into the bank. But if you put it in context of the lower interest rate environment, the spike in 2Q seems a bit concerning. Those are all my questions for now.
Thank you. More questions, please.
We'll now take our next question from Ola Warikoru of SBG. Please go ahead.
Hello. So my question is also on credit growth. Someone had mentioned that. So you've given the areas where we could see credit growth. But then in terms of Q2 2018, what is the outlook for looking into the rest of the year, given the weakness that happened in Q2? So with the 5-7%, is it achievable for the rest of the year? Then also on NIMS, so looking at Q2, it was below management guidance. So where does management see opportunity to close the gap to the 8.5% range? Also on cost growth drivers, I was wondering if you could elaborate on what drove costs in the last quarter, and then are there any risks to NPL ratio guidance of less than 15% for 2018? Thank you.
Okay. Let's give you responses to the questions, and then we'll continue with the next batch.
Okay. On credit growth, we believe the 5-7% is achievable. We believe the economy is able to absorb them, and now that most corporates are now coming out to borrow, of course, we expect that Q3 loan growth will be positive, and then we'll be able to see more growth in Q4. The guidance on the NPL, as you said, we keep to our guidance of 15% or lower for the year, and we believe that based on the work we've done and projections made, we should achieve a target NPL. Oh, Ontario. The process of sale of Ontario asset is ongoing. Documentation about to be concluded and for us to finalize sales of some of them. Not all the assets will be sold at once, but we expect that there will be material progress in Q3 and the cash flow will be in.
Okay. The question on succession plan, let me address it again. Across all operating entities of the group, we have very robust succession plans, and it follows a process which is driven by the board of each of the operating entities. And of course, at the HoldCo level, the board also drives the process. Let me say, as you know very well, we have a very deep management bench, very strong, and we have never had gaps. For each critical role, we have C-suite officers that are available to take up opportunities when they emerge. And we are dealing with a group that has multiple touch points, from the insurance to the merchant bank and asset management, and of course the commercial bank. And so it's a very strong management bandwidth which we can tap to fill vacancies when they do arise. But the process will always be driven by the board of each operating entity, and that process is currently on. We will make the announcements when the process is completed. There has never been gap in management at the operating entities, and there will not be any gap whatsoever. We have an incumbent that is doing a great job, and we believe that the taskers at hand is sufficiently tasking, and he has to deliver on the target set. Next questions, please.
Our next question comes from Rona Gadia of EFG Hermes. Please go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen, for the presentation and taking the questions. Mine, I guess, would just be a follow-up of some of the questions that have already been asked. Firstly, on your NPL, I take your guidance of 15% by the end of the year. But from my point of view, it seems the rate of NPL decline has been quite frustratingly slow. As you rightly mentioned, the provisioning levels over the last 2 to 3 years have significantly increased. So I'd like to know what's stopping the bank from writing off this, some of the loans that they've potentially fully provisioned for. Why haven't these loans been written off, or what's the holdback? The second question is on your IFRS 9 provisions. If I compare the incremental provisions that First Bank made relative to some of your peers, it seems the impact of IFRS 9 was relatively mute for yourselves. Would you be able to guide us to, are you expecting more provisions to be made through the rest of the year, or have we seen the full impact being undertaken in the first half? And my third question is on your subsidiary capital levels. Based on my own analysis and views, it seems that your UK and your Ghana subsidiaries needed a capital injection, although for different reasons. Has the capital been injected into the subsidiaries? If not, when would that happen, and what impact would that have on FBN Nigeria's capital adequacy ratio? Thank you.
Okay. Can we take a few more questions, please?
Our next question comes from Caitlin Byrne of Prudential. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the call. I just want to follow up on the cost of risk. So you've got guided 67% cost of risk, with H1 being at 4.7%. So if you can just confirm whether you expect more impairments to come through, and also just to confirm how you're going to get your NIM to within the guided range from where it's sitting at the moment. And can you explain the weakness in the merchant bank and why the capital adequacy ratio has dropped off so much there, and how much the Etisalat loan is that putting in your NPL, and what percentage you provisioned on it? Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, let's provide responses.
Yes, our 15% NPA guidance stays, and we expect that target to be achieved by the end of the year. We appreciate the fact that NPA reduction has not been as fast as expected, but the fact is that most of the increases you've seen, or the stickiness you've seen, was as a result of translation impact of foreign currency NPLs. So the foreign currency NPLs, based on increase in translation rate, has also been going up. So otherwise, you'll have seen more improvement in NPL than what we are seeing. You raised the issue of write-off. Write-off, yes, but that will be done at appropriate time. We must exhaust all options. We must see how we can restructure some of the NPLs. We must see how we can get them to cash flow rather than just writing off. I mean, generally speaking, some of the accounts can also go back to cash flow. I mean, if the businesses are able to pick up. We've seen a lot of progress in oil and gas, and we believe that by Q3, as we said, some of the structured loans will be going off NPL, and then we can see progress on the other NPL side. But at appropriate time, write-off will be considered. On IFRS 9 provision, yes, we guided in Q1 that IFRS 9 implication impact will be about 45. We confirmed that will be about 45-50 billion, and that we've taken part in Q1, and that balance will be taken in Q2. That's exactly what you've seen. Now, looking at the cost of risk that we guided at about 6-7, we said that based on the new loans that will be created, there will be capital charge from day one. Rather than general provision, this time around you will create more loans. And in creating those loans, you will take impairment charge from day one based on the PD and LG that you have. And we anticipate that when that happens, the cost of risk will go up and might likely get to the level that we anticipated. If you see the movement between Q1 and Q2, discover that it's almost flat, because the loan growth we expected did not come, so there was nothing to also charge into the books. So we still have that at the back of our mind, and we believe that will happen.
This is Patrick. So there was a question around capitalization of our UK subsidiary as well as the Ghana subsidiary. I think the good news is UK is very well capitalized, about 19%. We're very happy with the capital level, and it's got enough capital to grow and do business in the immediate future. In terms of Ghana, Ghana is also an over-capitalized entity in terms of when you think about capital adequacy ratio, north of 30%. However, I mean, you would appreciate the new regulations that came out that requires increase the minimum regulatory capital to approximately $100 million. We're working on that. There's a clear path to it. We're happy with where we are, and we expect that to be fully addressed this financial year.
This is Kayode from the Merchant Bank. I wouldn't describe it as a weakness in the Merchant Bank. I would describe it as a decline in the capital adequacy ratio, and that is substantially because of the growth in risk-weighted assets. And if you actually, as mentioned earlier, if you track the CAR ratio based on if you accrete the income that's been generated this year, we're actually back to about 14%, which is 450 bps above the regulatory minimum, which we feel is for a growing business quite a decent amount of capital to have available. So we certainly don't consider it to be a weakness at all.
Indeed, we are happy with the capital position of the merchant bank, because at a very high level, then the bank will obviously be inefficient. You have to deploy and sweat your capital. And so this is a company in growth stage, and they're taking opportunity and advantage of opportunities that are out there in the marketplace, which speaks to, you know, the strength of the brand. And so internally, they're well above our internal guidance, and of course, they're also well ahead of regulatory guidance.
I think the only other clarification is around the issue of loans write-off. A number of assets that have been fully provisioned and for which the chances of remedial or recovery are quite low have been written off in previous period. So as we come to a full determination in terms of overall recoverability of those balances, write-off decisions on whether to write off or not are being taken, and we take them based on the parameter that we have set internally for each of the credit.
Can we then go to the next set of questions, please?
Our next question comes from Onaike Oluwa of ARM Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Caller, please unmute your microphone if it's muted. It appears that Ms. Oluwa has stepped away. We will take our next question from Gloria Sadife of CSL Stockbrokers. Please go ahead.
So, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. I only have a follow-up question on Ontario. It appears realization of the assets has taking more time than scheduled, and it's been a moving target. I just want to clarify, in previous calls you had said we'll be expecting an amount north of 20 billion from relation to the assets. So I just want to clarify if that's the amount that is still being expected, and when can we realistically expect this loan to be written back?
Okay, thank you. Mark, questions, please.
We will now take our next question from Jerry Nabue of Cardinal Stone. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I have some follow-up questions. My follow-up question is on Atlantic Energy. Previously, you told us that you expect the account to be resolved by year-end. So I want to ask, is this still feasible? And if this is not feasible, are you willing to bite the bullet and make the provision? And just a way of confirmation, I would like to also have information on the outstanding balance and the percentage of impairments already taken. Yeah, also on the issue of continuity and management, should we expect some shake-up or some changes, or is likely going to be more continuity in management? Yeah, thank you.
If I can just speak to the management issue so that we bed it. I don't think we are at the stage where we would begin to speculate on the continuity and lack of continuity. I think the key thing is that management teams we have across the operating entities are focused on delivering targets for 2018. All the executives still have their valid contracts. There is no overrun. And therefore, the primary objective of management today is to deliver targets. The board will deal with the issue of succession. That is clearly a board call, and the process is on, like I said. Any other thing around this table may be speculative. The assurance we're giving is that we have very strong management team across the operating entities, very strong management teams. And we also have very strong management bandwidth to sustain us in business over the long term. That is the strength of the brand and of the group, and it will not change. So please rest assured that the group is in safe hands, and all the operating entities are also in safe hands to deliver the numbers we promised the market. And I believe the results you are seeing on a quarter-on-quarter basis justify the confidence we have in the teams across the operating entities. Thank you. Let's respond to the questions about okay. Energy and Ontario.
On Ontario, we guided that we'll be expecting recovery north of 20 billion. That is still intact. And we expect that this financial year. On AE, as is Atlantic Energy, we've made 30% provision. And we believe the resolution is also this financial year. As we guided earlier, we believe that the level of provision we have made is sufficient to cater for whatever haircut that might arise in the course of resolution of the asset. And we believe that 2018 will be it. However, we've said it clear earlier that if by 2019, if we are unable to resolve AE, the bank will take appropriate decision at that time.
Okay, I think we've taken all the questions so far on this batch. Can we move on to the next batch of questions?
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question today, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, that's the star key followed by the 1 key to ask a question. We will now take our next question from Olaluwa Babade of Value Alliance. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the call. I just wanted to ask if you have the figures. If you strip out, say, the top 2-3 problem loans that you have, what would your NPL ratio and cost of risk look like on a normal basis? Thank you.
Okay. Next question.
Our next question comes from Oyinike Oluwa of ARM Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello. This is Kayode Omoshibi from ARM. I'm just want to ask a question as a follow-up. I'm just looking at your e-banking income, and I want to find out if you can give us, in terms of context, the types of volume and value of transactions that go on your e-banking platform, and also the number of accounts that transact more on the e-banking platform.
Okay. Any other question on this batch before we respond? We've got 2 questions.
Our next question comes from Gloria Felipe of CSL Stockbrokers. Please go ahead.
Well, I think a previous call had asked how much provision I'm taking on Nine Mobile. I'm not sure I got the response to that.
Okay, we'll give you that. We'll give you a response to that. Okay, let's respond then.
Okay. On Nine Mobile, we've taken 35% provision. You asked on the question on if we resolve the top 3 NPLs, what will our NPL ratio look like? Our NPL ratio will be 9.8% if we resolve the top 3 NPL. The driver actually is Atlantic Energy, and we said that between 15% we guided for the year and single digit that we guided for 2019 is Atlantic Energy. And that was why we said that it's about 6% of our loan book, and that if we resolve that 6% of our loan book, it will take us a single digit after the financial year.
Okay, we're going to give a response on the volumes e-business, which came from Kayode, ARM. And I invite Chuma Ezirim, who drives the e-business of the bank, to provide response.
Okay, thank you. On daily basis, across all our channels, you know, we process in excess of about 10 million transactions worth over 20 billion naira.
Okay, and I would draw attention to slide, I think it's 14. You have the details of our e-business operations, and that slide for us represents the major initiatives we are driving, and that is the game changer for us, as I had announced in the opening comments.
Okay, just to also add that we are recording significant growth across our digital channels, you know, the USSD and the mobile banking. Okay, so on the USSD, for example, you know, what we did first half of this year, you know, was more than what we did the entire 2017, okay, which also, you know, shows, you know, a significant growth, you know. Same on our mobile banking, you know, the, you know, First Mobile. We also, you know, have rolled out the agent banking scheme, and you know, we're also proud to say that, you know, within the past 6 months, we've exceeded, you know, the targets we've set for ourselves in terms of the, you know, number of agents deployed and the volume of transactions processed. Okay, so we are also hoping that you know, before the end of the year, you know, we are also going to, you know, see significant, you know, growth, you know, across these three digital channels.
Okay. Other questions, please.
We will now take our next question from Ola Warakuru of SBG. Please go ahead.
Hello. So the question I wanted to follow up on had to do with NIMS. So I was asking that whether the management see the opportunity to close the gap to current guidance of 8 to 8.5%.
Okay, on NIMS, I think the real lag has been the fact that we haven't grown loans as quickly as we expected. The CRO outlined earlier on, as we push towards the end of the year and we start to book some of the undrawn commitments that we have, we expect to see NIMS a bit more supportive. Indeed, one of the reasons why we have not been aggressive in repricing or turning down some of the deposits we built up has been in anticipation of that, so that we will have the necessary liquidity to back these loans as they're drawn. So we expect to see some recovery as we get into the second half of this year.
Okay, thank you, Eni. Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Sahil Kumar of Moody's Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Sahil. Actually, most of my questions have already been answered. I have just one question. What would be your effective tax rate for this year, 2018?
Okay. Effective tax rate for 2018, okay.
But for the bank specifically, it's going to be minimum tax. That's kind of what we see playing out.
Overall, for the group, we do not expect the effective tax rate to be more than 20%. So it's less than or equal to 20% for the full year for the entire group.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Okay. Next question, please. Proceed.
Our next question comes from Tunde Olefa of Leadway Assuring. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you for the call. My question is from your slide 27, where you have your digital banking channels, contribution from digital banking channel. It's currently standing at about 22.2% of your non-interest revenue. I was just wondering what the target is for you in your strategic plan.
Okay. Any other question?
Our next question comes from Onaike Oluwa of ARM Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Okay. Hi, this is Kaya Diomashibi again of ARM. Three questions I want to ask you. First is, in terms of Atlantic Energy, can we have an idea of how much has been provided for so far? You talked about bringing down your cost-to-income ratio down to 55%, and that outlays with one discussion we've had about streamlining operational costs. Are you looking to reduce some branches, and are you looking to lay off some workers? And then thirdly, what's your current FCY position like? Can you just give us a range of what it is currently?
Okay.
And sorry, that the FCY position is after redeeming the euro bond. I want to know what the value would be.
Okay, thank you. We'll provide responses. So, Ine, maybe you can take up.
Well, as you know, paying off the Eurobonds will be position neutral. We're not selling any FX. The bank is still long, and we've maintained that long position for some time.
Right.
So, but we're still in a very comfortable position based on what we see in terms of where the currency appears to be headed in the short term.
On AE, we've made 30% provision. That's all.
Okay.
In terms of our digital revs contribution to non-interest income, we easily see that hitting 40%. Now, in terms of our cost-to-income ratio, it's a little ahead of guidance, but we see that coming under control before the year runs out. We have a good handle of our costs, and we are confident we can keep it at those levels. So over the next half of the year, with expected growth in revenue, especially our digital channels and interest revs as we create loans, and our cost control, we're quite confident that we will bring cost-income ratio within guidance.
I mean, just to put that question in proper context, if you look at the cumulative annual growth rate on OPEX or all the Tier 1 banks over the last 5 years, we actually have the lowest CAGR. If you look at why the other guys have grown double digits, we've actually grown a single digit at a very low end. So if there's anything that's been achieved over the last 3-4 years, it's actually to rein in cost, and that explains why where we are today at 56 is not materially far from where we've guided we will be at 55. And if we just do what we need to do between our year end, we will fall squarely within the number that has been guided. So we are quite comfortable with where we are.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. But the CAGR you talked about, is it not just a function of the high base of your operating expense? But I still ask the question about the streamlining of branches. Is that still happening this year?
I mean, a number of initiatives have been ongoing over the last 3 years. We started from a high cost-to-income base of about 65 in 2014, and we've worked it down to where it is now. And all those initiatives are still ongoing. Some are quick wins, some are short-term, some are medium-term in nature. So, but we're not taking our eyes off the ball, so that's the most important thing. A couple of things that we're doing. The most important thing is that if we will fall squarely within the 55% cost-to-income ratio guidance.
Do you have more questions, please?
Our next question comes from Adaronke Atunifola of Chapel Hill. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for the question. My question is on the pricing of a loan book. So I'd like to know if you have priced your loans downward so far this year. And considering that rates are lower, so would you consider any further downward repricing? And if you don't, so by how much have you priced downward? Thank you.
Next question.
Our next question comes from Olaluwa Babare of Value Alliance. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask about your agent banking scheme. We've seen significant growth over the quarter. Can you speak to the profitability? You've grown your agents significantly, and do you expect to increase the number of agents going forward as well?
Okay. On agent banking, we are in the seventh month of the commercial rollout, and we have over 7,000 agents that we nominally deployed. And so your first question, which is on the right side, we've seen over 1,000% growth between January and June when we rolled out. You know, so today we are doing an average of close to 100 million every month. Okay. Then for the rollout, you know, I mean, what we are focusing on now is coverage. There are 774 local government councils in Nigeria. As of today, we've covered over 720, and our target is to cover, you know, the entire country before the end of the year. So for us, you know, I mean, it's not really about the number of agents, you know, I mean, deployed. Is about coverage. Once we achieve this, you know, two other things will follow in quick succession. One is to extend, the coverage in each of these local government councils, and then of course, you know, deepen our product offerings. Okay, so we expect that, you know, when we get those two right, we are going to see, you know, a significant growth in the number of agents.
On the pricing of loan books, pricing of our loan book is dynamic, and we've seen corporates coming in, for rate reduction and all that across sectors. But what we've seen also is that, looking at the second half of the year, rate might not be as low as we all think it might be. But whatever the rate is, we all adjust, knowing fully well that it is also a matter of demand and supply of credit, and that the pricing will work for both parties.
Thank you. Do we have more questions?
There are no further questions at this time. I would like to hand the call back to Mr. UK Eke for any closing remarks. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay. First, I want to thank you for participating in this call today. And you will agree that we have delivered solid performance for the first half of 2018, despite the very tough operating environment. We are confident that we will also deliver the numbers we promised for the full year. And so we thank you for your sustained interest. And we look forward to posting another call when we announce our third quarter results. In the meantime, if there are questions or you need additional clarifications on, please feel free to contact us bilaterally. We'll be glad to provide more information. And I thank you once again. Bye-bye.
This concludes the SBN Holdings Financial Results Call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.